So today is the last concluding and the concluding message on the altar. And I'll try to contain myself as I go through this material because, you know, I put these sermons together and it just, you know, I feel it as I go. And I feel it in prep. I feel it in prayer. And I surely feel it when I preach it. But, you know, the Bible teaches us that God is always active in the affairs of humanity. How many of you know that God is not on vacation? Amen? We might take a vacation, but God is not on vacation. In the very first chapter of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, the scripture declares that in the creation narrative, that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the Spirit of God has been moving ever since. Because today I want to talk to you about that move of God, and I want to talk to you about the concept of breakthrough. The concept of breakthrough is based upon God-engineered events in our lives. Now think about that for a second. A combination of God-engineered events in our lives. Breakthroughs create new seasons. Breakthroughs bring us into new levels in our relationship with God. Breakthroughs bring us from the realm of impossibilities into the realm of all things are possible to him that believes. With God, all things are possible. Scripture declares that. So today I want to talk to you about the altar of breakthrough. Because the altar of breakthrough is the altar of prayer that positions us for what God wants to do in us and through us. So today I want to talk about the altar of breakthrough. And I want to give you a couple of verses of scripture. Both of these are going to be taken from the Old Testament. The first one is Book of Psalms, Psalms 26. Psalms 26, verse 6 to 8. He says, I wash my hands in innocence, O Lord, so that I will go about your altar. I will go round about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and all of your wondrous works. I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. All right, in this psalm, we can see the importance of the altar. Because David says, I will go around your altar. I am going to be connected to your altar. And your altar connects me to your presence. Do y'all see that? Because he talks about the place of God's glory, the place where your glory dwells. I have loved the habitation of your house. He's not talking about a church building. He's talking about the place of God's presence, wherever that altar is, wherever we build it. There is the presence of God and his glory revealed. Then I want to give you this verse. In the Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 2, this is a great verse. Book of Micah, chapter 2, verse 13. The Amplified Bible says it this way. I don't know if I gave you that little notation for the Amplified, but if y'all can get that for us, that'd be great. Verse 13, it says, the breaker, the Messiah. All right, so there's no question who this verse is talking about. He's talking about Jesus. Can I get an amen? That was kind of weak. I see I got my work cut out for me today. The breaker, the Messiah, he's talking about Jesus. He will go up before them. They will break through. There's our word. They will break through. Pass in through the gate. Go out through it. And their king will pass on before them. The Lord at their head. Man, what an incredible verse of Scripture. So I want to talk to you about the altar of breakthrough. And the altar of breakthrough brings us to our intimacy with God. And if we think about all that Jesus taught us, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeks finds. To him that knocks it shall be opened. I mean, Jesus gave us the principle right there of the altar. When you pray, go into your inner closet. Shut the door. Pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what you are doing in secret is going to reward you openly. Things will happen when you pray, when you seek God. Hebrews 11:6, he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All of these verses connect us to the prayer altar because it is the altar of prayer that will produce breakthrough. When we went into 2018 in January, here we are almost, we're in the last week of June. This year is halfway finished. 2018, half of it is history. Have you started your Christmas shopping? They even have Christmas decorations in Hobby Lobby. I believe that Becky is working there part-time because she believes in getting a jump start. Becky's already purchased Christmas gifts. Have you not, Becky? See, my Christmas shopping is like God's. Never early, never late, right on time. Half of it's over. We only have 6 months left, and we're going to a new year, 2019. It'll be here before you know it. When we enter this year in January, I had God give me a word. You know, every year we look for a word from God for the year. You know, what is our theme for the year? What is our word for the year? And I received this from the Lord with clarity in my spirit, that 2018 is going to be a year of breakthrough. A year of breakthrough. And we have seen breakthroughs. We have seen increase. We have seen God moving. I mean, everything that we just saw on the video and what Vicky shared with us, all of that, my friends, is a result of spiritual breakthrough. Come on, somebody. Amen? Because God is moving. He's moving. And you know what's so exciting? He's not finished. He's not done. The Spirit of God is moving. And I want to talk to you about the altar of breakthrough. I want to give you a few principles today and hope that this will give you some insight and some wisdom as you move forward. First of all, we must understand the prayer altar connects us to the breaker. Jesus is the leader of breakthrough. Jesus is the one who gives us breakthrough. I love this verse of Scripture, Micah 2:13, in the Message Bible. Listen to what it says in the Message Bible. Then I, God, will burst all confinements and lead them out into the open. They'll follow their king. I will be out in front leading them. What an incredible promise. All of the confinements. Have you ever traveled on the interstate? Particularly the I-10. It seems like, you know, you hit these traffic snags and they got all these cones blocking the lane. And the thing is, you go riding in that lane that's open after you get through the traffic snag and all you see is all this good highway just coned off. Now, I know there's got to be a reason behind it. You know, they're doing something, but sometimes you don't see what they're doing. How many of you know that's exactly how breakthrough works? You may not always see what God is doing, but there are things, because He's leading the way, and there are things that are happening that we can't see at the moment. You can't see it at the present. But God says He is going to burst all confinements and lead us into the open. And He is at the front. See, the scripture calls Christ the breaker. And breakthrough is what He does for us. In the book of Micah the prophet, he declares that the breaker would crash through the gates to lead the people into new places. Jesus, my friends, will break through every obstacle, everything that stands in the way of your growth. Everything. Everything that is holding you back. Now listen, consider this. Here's one of the greatest promises of God. We find it in the book of John chapter 15, where Jesus said this. It's verse 7. He said, if you abide in me, if. How many of you know God always wants us to move and then He'll move? See, that's why you have to position yourself. That's why we're talking about this altar of prayer, this altar of breakthrough. Because the Word of God says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give. So that's a verse on giving. What about an intimacy with God? If you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Right? If you seek me, we already quoted it, you shall find me. There's always that challenge because God wants to position us. All right, so Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now listen to this promise. You shall ask what you will. Am I reading that right? You shall ask what, I thought it's not my will, but thine be done. Are y'all with me? So, are we reading that right? Is there a mistranslation of words in John 15:7? No, my friends, because the key to this is this. When you abide in Christ, you begin to operate and function according to divine will. And then your requests, what you will, what you desire, is automatically linked and connected to the divine will of God. And that's where the victory and the breakthrough comes. So he says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Hallelujah. Now, my friends, that is a promise of breakthrough. Jesus connects, or the prayer altar connects us to Jesus, the breaker. He is our breakthrough. Let me give you the second thing. See, the breaker is going to remove obstacles. He's going to remove obstacles. Let's go to another Old Testament passage of God's Word. Well, we'll go to a couple of them. Book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 6. Listen to what we read right here in this verse. He says, I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons, here's another prophet talking about our seed, children, grandchildren. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. God is saying, give them up. Thank God the devil's not going to have them all. He might have some, but he's not going to have them all. And I believe we need to stand as people of God with the understanding and realization and revelation that the breaker is going to remove obstacles. Jesus Christ is the master of breakthroughs. He's always leading people into breakthroughs. And we have the promise that He will go before us. Look at Isaiah chapter 45. In verse 2, Isaiah 45, 2, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. What an incredible verse of scripture. I will go before you. My friends, if you were to take a Bible concordance in the modern world of technology, you could do this with a Bible app on computer. But if you were to search this, you would be amazed of how many times we find God promising, I will go before you. I will lead the way. I will be before you. I will lead you out. I will lead you in. I will, I will, I will. God over and over again gives us that promise. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you. Do y'all see that? The eternal God is your refuge, your dwelling place. He will drive out the enemy. Why? How? Because he's going before you. He's going before you. Whatever it is, he is going to remove the obstacles. Whatever is holding you back, he will remove those obstacles, those hindrances, because it is the breaker. He is the breaker. Jesus Christ is the breaker, and he is the master of breakthrough. Just consider his earthly ministry. All that Jesus did, wherever he went, things happened. See, I believe that it is a strategy of Satan to keep us from experiencing what God has for us. So that's why he brings in doubt. He brings in confusion. You know, he brings in all of these things because he wants to keep us restrained. Because he knows what can happen when the power of God is released in men and women. He knows what can happen. He knows the damage that will be done to his kingdom when all of a sudden people get a revelation and they come into intimacy with God and they begin to really dwell in Jesus Christ and they begin to live for him and experience the power of the breaker. Now, again, that brings us to the anointing. I was talking a little bit about this last week, but I want to visit it again. The third thing here, see, breakthrough anointing flows from the altar. See, this is why we can't lose sight of the altar. You can't lose the revelation of what the altar does. And we have to prioritize the altar. I love this verse in the book of Revelation. And it's Revelation chapter 8. In Revelation chapter 8, he tells us this in verse 3. He said, this is the seventh seal of the seal judgments. And it's a prelude to the trumpet judgments that we're about to sound. You know, so all of this is what we would term last day events. Before Jesus comes back, how many of you know he's coming back? Come on, somebody. He's coming back. He's going to right every wrong. He's going to execute justice and righteousness. He's coming back, the Bible says, riding on a white horse with a sword in his hand, because he's coming to execute judgment and righteousness. That's why you better know that you know that you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because there's coming a day of judgment. There's coming a day where righteousness is going to be executed. Jesus is going to be the righteous judge. The first time he was riding on a donkey, but the second time he's riding on a white horse, and he's going to take control and authority over what is rightfully his. Thank God that the devil doesn't own this earth. Adam gave him authority, he gave him jurisdiction, but thank God Jesus took it back when he died on the cross. And that's why he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and preach the gospel, because we have an anointing of God that is operating inside of us. So that's why you got to protect it. You got to watch over it. Because everything the devil wants to do is rob, steal, kill, destroy your anointing and my anointing. So that's why we have to walk in righteousness. Because the anointing flows in the spirit of righteousness and holiness. So listen to what this says, because we're talking about breakthrough anointing that flows from the altar. So it tells us that the seven angels who stand before God, they're sounding the trumpet. And in verse 3, he said, I saw another angel having a golden censer. He came and stood at the altar. Now listen to this. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers. How many of you see the prayer altar? He's talking about a prayer altar. He says it's mixed with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne. Now, don't get confused about that word saint. It simply means Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara. Anybody excited about the Saints football season? Don't y'all be missing church for those games. No, he's not talking about that. The word saints means called out ones. That's all it means. The called out ones. The separated ones. If you are a born again child of God, then the Bible says you are a saint. Ephesians says you are called to be saints. Called by God. You are designated. You don't need anyone to validate your sainthood. Are y'all with me? The moment that the blood of Jesus covered you, you got validated. Thank God that we did. Amen. That's why the Bible says that we are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body and in your spirit because it belongs to God. You are a purchased possession. If you are a child of God, you are purchased. So he's talking about the purchased ones, the saints. And he says the smoke of the incense in verse 4 were the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. The angel's hand. Notice verse 5. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Reminds me of a song back in the early 70s. What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, got to go round. That's all I know. I have to stop right there. I'm dating myself. But that's exactly what this is saying. What goes up is going to come down. And the Bible says when prayer goes up, are y'all with me today? When the prayer altar goes up, there is an anointing that's come. My God. There is an anointing that is coming back into the earth. See, this is why Jesus taught us these things. When he said, go, shut the door, pray, seek God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. When we create that altar of prayer, when we build that altar of prayer, there is an anointing that is coming from heaven. There is breakthrough that is coming from heaven. I mean, look at it. It's right here. He says that the prayers go up. And then the angel takes the censer with the fire from the altar. From whose altar? From your altar. From my altar. Whenever we create an altar and we seek God, it could be your bathroom. It could be your bedroom. It could be any place that you designated. It could be even out on the marsh fishing. That's not a good place for me because I'm all worried about them fish when I'm out there. But it could be any place where we get alone with God and we create the altar and the fire from the altar. He says it right here. He says when those prayers go up, then something supernatural happens. He fills it with the fire of the altar and he throws it to the earth. And there's noise and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. My friend, that is how breakthrough operates. He is talking about breakthrough anointing flowing from the altar. Now, what he's really defining, what he's really describing to you and I, he's talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit operating on the inside of us. And whenever that fullness is operating, our soul is expanding. Our soul is increasing. Something is happening. The Holy Spirit, you can't live without the Holy Spirit. See, the power of God flows from the altar and it produces an overflow in our lives. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is the seal of God on our lives. Now, in the Old Testament, the king had a seal. And when the king stamped his seal on something or on somebody, that represented the king's authority and his power. That's what it did. Because the seal of the king, it meant something. You know, it's sort of like getting a certificate from the state or a certificate from a university, you know, because, you know, that means something. It means something. It validates that you are graduated or you have a degree, you know, in the educational system. You know, there's something about a seal. Well, in the Old Testament, the king had his seal, and the king represented the authority of the king, the power of the king, and the jurisdiction of the king. Now think of this, of what the Bible says about this seal. And I want to share it with you. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I think I just read this verse a week or two ago. Actually, it was verse 21. So I'll include that one as well. But it's verse 22 that I want you to see. It says in verse 21, "He who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." The King James Bible uses the word earnest. Has anybody ever heard the term earnest money? Anybody familiar with that term? All right. You know, they use it in financial terminology. Earnest, that means, you know, that means money deposited. You know, it's a deposit. Earnest money. Money set aside. Money given to a purpose. You know, so what the Bible is teaching us right here is that the anointing of God, he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, is God, and he has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts. All right, the Amplified Bible says he has also appropriated and acknowledged us as his. See, that's kind of what, you know, a wedding ring is a seal. Mine has been on for almost now 39 years. That's a long time. Everybody give Becky a clap praise for dealing with me, because I'm hard to deal with. Y'all trying to figure out if that's a joke or not, huh? No, the reason Becky keeps her beauty is because she's married to me. Now I'm really messing around. Let me get focused here again. But a wedding ring, think about it. If you're married, the wedding ring represents a sealing process that you don't belong to anyone else. Are y'all with me? You don't belong to anyone else other than the one who has sealed it, who has sealed the vow with this ring. Now, I know in today's world, in today's culture, people don't think much about their vows anymore. But vows are powerful. And when people go to the altar to become husband and wife, they make a vow. They pledge themselves. And then that exchange of vows is sealed with a kiss. No, that's just laying you up. It's sealed by signing a document that says, and you know that, you know what that document has on? It's got a stamp. It's got a, it's sealed. Makes the marriage legal. But the ring symbolizes the sealing together of two lives becoming one. And that's why marriage is such an awesome thing, because Paul plainly taught us in the book of Ephesians that it's a great mystery. He said, but it illustrates the relationship that Jesus has with his people. And it's sealed. It's sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it says he has appropriated and acknowledged us as his by putting his seal upon us and giving us his Holy Spirit in our hearts as the security deposit and guarantee of the fulfillment of his promise. Earnest money. Spiritual deposit. It's a security deposit. See, he's talking about this incredible fullness of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is the seal of God on our lives. The seal of a king represents the king's authority and power. The seal that he's talking about here is a mark of ownership and confirmation. And that's why the Bible says, if you are a born-again child of God, you have an anointing. He's plainly saying that. He who establishes us with you in Christ and hath, it's past tense, do y'all see that? And hath anointed us is God. So the moment you said yes to Jesus, was that part of the theme for the camp? Say yes to Jesus or something like that. Say yes. So, you know, so we have to always say yes to what God wants to do in our lives. We have to say yes to breakthrough. We have to say yes to the promise of God. We have to say yes to all that God has for us. Because the breakthrough, my friends, will come when you and I get into agreement with what God wants to do in our lives. Let me give you the next thing. I'm almost done. Here's the fourth thing. See, spiritual breakthrough is a place of new birth. Man, I love this concept. Let's go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19. Let's visit this real quick as we wrap this up. Isaiah 43, 19. Here's another promise. All right, God says, behold, I will do a new thing. Well, let's back up a little bit to verse 18. He says, don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Man, I want to believe God. I want to believe what God says. I want all that God has for me. I don't want to miss any moment. I don't want to miss any opportunity because I know he's moving. And he's moving supernaturally. And what he is doing, my friends, is awesome and incredible. And it's something new. So spiritual breakthrough is always a place of new birth. Spiritual breakthrough described here is new victories. It's not what God did last year. I mean, we should always be mindful of those things. But we can't recapture what God did last year. We can't recapture what he did 10 years ago. We can't recapture, you know, the old moves of God because it was for that generation. You know, so God is trying to teach us this. It is what God is doing now. You know, what he's talking about in spiritual breakthrough, I will do a new thing. What he is describing is what he is doing Now, so many are trying to recapture what God has done in the past. However, the Bible clearly teaches us that His mercies are new every morning. His work is new to each generation. We need to capture what God has for us today. Are y'all with me? We can't recapture the old moves of God, as awesome as they were. You know, as awesome and incredible as they were. You know, I've been approached several times by people wanting to do tent revivals with us. I'm not against doing tent meetings. And, you know, but why would I want to put up a tent where people will sweat when I know the anointing works better in air conditioned? I had a minister friend of mine. He was telling me about it. He went speaking at a church, and he said they've been doing a tent revival for like 20 years. He said even the pastor that was this was a daughter church of another pastor of another ministry of another church, and he was trying to tell a man, rent the civic center. No, we got to have the tent. We got to have the tent. And he said he went down and preached. It was a five-night tent revival. He said he went down and he preached the tent revival. And he said the mosquitoes and the gnats were so bad. He said people were kind of doing this. And he said he was trying to figure out if it was the Holy Ghost or if it was bugs. Because, he said, man, they were swatting. They were doing all these things. He said they were miserable. And he said, I had to cut the message short. He said, because we had to just kind of seal that up. You know, back in the day, tent revivals were rooted in a move of God that was called the healing revivals. They put up tents because they didn't have the buildings we have today. That's the reason. So they went into these areas where there was not facilities to house big crowds. So they erected the tents. And people were coming in. Because there were miracles, there were healings. It was healing revivals that were taking place. I mean, Oral Roberts did tent meetings. R.W. Shambach did tent meetings. You know, all of these great men of God. But that was a different era. We can't recapture that as much as we might want to or desire it. You know, but God does something new. He says it right here. And the move of God that is going to happen in the days ahead, the move of God that's going to happen next year, next decade, it's not going to look anything like previous moves of God because everything is new. He's new. And think of this, God is a creative God. He's creative. I mean, God is always doing things that are based upon His creative nature. So thank God, every generation, listen, this new generation that's coming up, it's going to take a different move of God to capture their hearts. Because, I mean, they were raised in, with the technology of the cell phone and the computer technology. And there's going to be a different move of God to touch that generation. It's going to be different. It's not going to be like anything we've ever seen before. So God is teaching us we can't capture what He did yesterday. We have to capture what He's doing today. So I want to understand His work. Listen, I saw a guy say, man, I want to bring in a B3 Hammond organ and we're trying to recapture an old move of God. You know, listen, when God moves, He moves in spite of what we do. He moves in spite of how we think it should be. He never moves according to our mindset. That's why the Bible says, and that's in the book of Isaiah, He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not, I think differently than you do. I act differently than you do. My ways are different from your ways. Do you realize, and I was just reading this in the Bible the other day, Jesus is doing all of these incredible, I mean, it was a move of God. It was breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. He's healing and delivering and setting free. And the Bible says in the Gospel of Mark that His family wanted to put Him in a straitjacket. Y'all didn't know that was in the Bible. Well, it doesn't really say that. But you know what it says? It says that they said, they tried to constrain him. Listen to this now. They tried to constrain him, his family, because they said, he's out of his mind. Y'all can call me whatever you want, but I'm going to get worse. I want to be out of my mind because his ways are not according to how I think. His wisdom is not according to human wisdom. So yeah, Jesus, listen, you can go and read it. His family, it says his family tried to constrain him. They were trying to resist the breakthroughs. How tragic. And how many times do we see that in the world in which you and I live? And let me give you the last and final thing here, and we're going to pray over this material. Psalms 139. I want to give you the fifth and final thing. The altar deals with areas that need attention. Now, I want you to think about that, because there's some areas in your life that you need to give attention to. Not a lot of amens on that one, but it's the truth anyway. Psalms 139 and verse 23. David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." So Psalms 139 is a prayer of searching. Is there anything stopping my breakthrough? Is there anything that is hindering me? We need to ask ourselves this question. Is spiritual stagnation stopping my progress? Spiritual stagnation. I'm always haunted by what I read in the book of Hebrews when it says, "For the time is now when you should be teachers." We have people in the body of Christ that should be teachers. They should be leaders. They should be deacons. They should be pastors in the house of God. "For the time is now that you should be teachers," not needing to be re-instructed, retrained, retaught. I don't know if it does anything to you, but that really kind of gets to me. Those verses kind of get to me because, you know, it really kind of nails the issue. You know, so the altar will deal with areas that need attention. So every one of us, my friends, listen, as a pastor, I got to always keep my heart pure before God. I have to be very careful what I allow into my eye gate. I have to be very careful when it comes to television programming. I have to be very careful and, you know, things that, especially if you do any kind of research on sports articles, guarantee you go on, I'm a sports guy. I like to if I see a trending sports story, well, then I'm gonna more than likely read about that. You know, I was just reading about the Manning's passing academy they've been doing for years now, and how many youngsters go to that, and just great thing that they do. You know, but you get on the computer, and if you search those things, well then, you know, it's going to be a good possibility. You're going to have a little sidebar kind of pop up there. And, you know, check out the Baltimore Ravens new cheerleading staff. Well, yeah. Are y'all with me? Amen. You know, so that's how the old devil works. You know, because he's trying to distract us with whatever he can. Whatever he can use to distract us. Spiritual stagnation. Have you ever been to stagnated water? I'm telling you, stagnated water stinks. It stinks. It doesn't smell good. It's not moving. I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know what can live in stagnated water. But we have to ask ourselves that question. Am I spiritually stagnated? See, spiritual stagnation is the result of not dealing with areas of our lives that need attention. So that's why we have to deal with those areas. Jesus talked about things that choke the word in our lives and make us unfruitful. Are y'all with me? So we have to always do that. That's why when we come to the table of communion, what does he tell us to do? Examine yourself. You got to check yourself. Are there some areas in my life that need attention? Have I become spiritually stagnated? Because, my friends, we are to be growing. Listen, I've been serving God. I got born again in 1976. I've been serving God. This September will be 42 years that I've been serving God. And I'm telling you, it's been awesome. You know, now I've had highs and lows in my walk just like anybody else. Everybody has highs and lows in their walk. There's times when I wasn't as on fire, you know, as other times when I was on fire. You know, that's just human nature. And that's why we have to always, always go to the altar. Bring it to the altar, because the altar will deal with those areas that need attention. All right, so David is saying, try me, search me, O God. Search my heart. He didn't pray that so that God could know what was wrong with him. He needed to know what was wrong with him. See, that's the thing. Do I have any blind spots? I always pray that. God, do I have any blind spots? Is there anything that I can't see that I need to change, that I need to adjust? Is there anything that's holding me back? Is there anything that's stopping growth? Is there anything that is keeping me from increasing in you? What areas of my life need attention?